Billy Cowder was born in 1868 in Illinois, and at the age of 21 moved with his family to the Cedar Creek country, where he and his father both took up homesteads. On this tape, Billy talks about the Farmers Alliance, the homestead years, clearing land, the 1893 Depression, the 1896 election, and early towns.
Well, you were here during the hard times around 1893 then, weren't you?
I sure was. That was some pickings, I'll tell you. Yes, sir. Right at that time, I was 21, 2, and 3. Well, I should be in the making something, and you couldn't get a job, and it was some living.
What did you do to get through those years?
Well, I'm guessing at that yet. I don't know how we managed that.
It
was slim picking, I'll tell you.
Did you stay on the homestead?
Yeah, on Father's homestead.
At that time, were there many people around here who were interested in that Coxey's army that was kind of protesting against the poor times?
Yeah, there was more people in here. There was quite a lot of homesteaders hadn't proved up yet, you know. In there where we were, in there what is called Crescent now. And Linden on beyond, and they were all homesteaders. They all lived on their places. They proved up and happened to, I think, about 1895, a lot of them proved up and mortgaged and left. Homesteads. There was, at that time, more people in there, more heavily populated than it is today.
Well, were they all mostly on small farms? Were they mostly on small farms?
Oh no, they had 160, but tall timber. They had to clear up if they want any cultivating land.
Was it pretty hard to clear that land up?
Oh gosh, yes.
How would you go about it?
Well, we cut down a tree, trim him up and burn the brush, saw him up in about 8, 10, 12 feet length, take a team and drag it up into log piles and set on a fire. There were thousands of dollars worth of good timber burned up just that way.
Was it too hard to get them to a mill?
Was no sawmills around then.
Was the Farmers Alliance or the Farmers Union working around here at that time?
No, but I heard of them around through the farming country.
What kinds of things did they do?
How was that?
What kinds of things did they do?
I don't know. The farmers Did you call it the Farmers Alliance?
Yes.
I don't know. They started in, I guess, meant pretty good. They were quite well organized, yet, and they had stores of their own, that is, grocery stores and hardware. What the farmers needed.
Uh-huh.
But that didn't last long.
Well, what... Were most people pretty angry about the hard times then?
Oh, yes, they were dissatisfied. They couldn't do nothing about it, you know. But, They got plenty of that free trade, you know. Cleveland, run on the Democratic ticket on a free trade. He believed that this country should, and other countries should exchange free, you know. They ship things in here free of duty, and the American ship out free of duty. That's the way they believed. And Harrison was the opposing nominee on the Republican ticket, and he believed in the protective tariff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I picked my ticket. I consulted a lot of well-educated men, you know, that had been through the mills, and they told me that this free trade business wouldn't work. We had to have protective tariff. And I come to that conclusion myself, that was right. Because in them foreign countries, you think Germany, France, Russia, they had cheap labor, so much cheaper than we had here. And they manufactured their goods for less than half what we would. Here, they get shipment in. You take dry goods such as your clothing. Why, you could buy a shirt there for 50 cents. That cheaper. Boy, they couldn't make it in the United States for less than 75 or a dollar. At that same time. Just that way with everything, hardware and coffee. You could get buy coffee then, a bit a pound, 8 pounds for a dollar. It was parched but not ground. That's in packages, pound packages. But there was two brands of it. There was the Lyons brand and Arbuckle.
Hmm. Well, do you think it was Cleveland's free trade policies that brought on that 1893 depression?
I didn't exactly catch you.
Do you think it was Cleveland's free trade policy that brought on that 1893 depression?
Why, of course. Nothing else could bring it on.
Well, there was a bad harvest here that year too, wasn't there?
No, the harvest was all right, but it's a wet one. Good many people lost quite a bit of grain on account of rain. It started about the middle of September, and by gosh, it did rain, and it rained. I worked down in the Dayton country. I was with a thrash machine down there. But we happened to get most of the crops taken care of before the rains come. They didn't come till about after the middle of September.
What was the next election after that? Who ran in the next election after that?
About 4 years later, William Jennings Bryan ran against William McKinley. Bryan's run on a free silver ticket, 16 silver dollars to one gold dollar. And McKinley ran on a gold standard, and McKinley won.
Well, didn't most of the working class people support Bryant? Didn't most of the working class people support Bryant? Support
Bryant? I don't know about that. Anyhow, McKinley was elected, but I think the people. Well, I know around here, there was an awful lot of people voted for McKinley, regardless of whether the Democrats or Republicans, but they voted for McKinley. That silver trade was something similar to that free trade. They figured that out that way.
What were the early homesteaders like? What kind of people were they?
The best people in the world. There were people from Kansas, Oklahoma, Nebraska, Iowa, Missouri, Illinois, Ohio. I didn't know a thing about my neighbor. And my neighbor didn't know a thing about me, whether I was a respectable character or not. But we never asked any questions. And we were neighbors. They're all friendly, one with another.
Why did most people come out here?
Well, I have an idea that they didn't do so well in the East. And there were a lot of homestead land at that time. Back east, they had to buy it. When we left, their land was all the way from $25 to $75 an acre. Because here, it produced just about as good as that did, only you didn't have the market here that we had there. But then you had the same amount of land and you could crop it. But we didn't have nothing when we come out here, and we had to just take a brush, claim and clear up our land. We couldn't. We did go down and kind of up the river from Pasco, but that we looked at 160 there. Were just level as you'd want land, but it was, I don't know how many thousand feet above water. Mm-hmm. A nice level flat land, but it was too dry. That was the trouble here then.
Well, was this a pretty wild country when you arrived?
What do you mean, wild animals?
Oh, wild animals and a hard country, a harsh country. Was it a hard life?
No, it wasn't bad. You go through the woods, you might travel all day and never see anything. And all at once, maybe you'll run up against a bear or something like that. But then the bear was wild, he'd give you plenty of room.
How about the people? How did the people kind of enforce the law in those days? Before there were marshals and sheriffs?
Well, I don't know about that. We had officers just about the same as they got now, put there without, only we didn't have them, what you might call them, the automobile. We met quite a lot of Indians. They were civil and peaceable.
Were the Indians still moving pretty freely through this part of the country?
No, not here. They were generally remained on the reservations.
Did you usually, what town would you go to when you wanted to get supplies?
How was that?
What town did you go to when you wanted to get supplies?
You mean for groceries and such stuff?
Yes.
Kendrick.
What was Kendrick like in those days?
Oh, pretty thriving town. I believe it's better than Chisinau. They had several dry goods stores, grocery stores, saloons. Yeah. Hotels. You go to a hotel and you get a good meal for two bits. Beef steak.
About how often would you go to town from the homestead?
Well, not very often. In the fall of the year, we tried to get our supplies so we didn't have to go in the winter time. Because the snow, where we lived, would get about 4 feet deep. And ground kind of regard bare ground. So you couldn't, one rig wouldn't work all the way. That's the reason we're taking the harvest, you know, get enough money and get us a good supply of trouble, unless the fellow says we'd hole up in the winter. And this snow got so awful deep.
Well, how would people keep themselves entertained then?
Well, we had a school, and I believe there's about 20 or 25 kids going, and every Friday night we had a literary. And on Sundays, well, we had Sunday school and church, when we could get a preacher, but we always had Sunday school.
What was a literary?
Well, it was a kind of a debating society. But to get a subject. And then they debate on it, and then we had a program, you know, declamations and
would everybody participate?
Oh, yes. Yes. Some of them old ranchers are pretty good talkers on a subject. But sometimes they have a funny question up, you know, for debate. Like, which is more essential, the dish rag or the broom? Yeah, we used to have lots of fun at them meetings.
How about parties and such? Were there many of those?
Well, once in a while they had a dance, not in our neighborhood, but across over. In the Gold Hill country, they'd have dances there. And we'd have, once in a while, we'd have a kind of what they call a play party, you know. No dancing allowed.
Why wasn't there any dancing allowed?
Well, it was kind of religiously inclined, you know, and they didn't believe in it.
Oh.
And they'd have a party at those places.
Do you think many of the early homesteaders cleared out around that 1893 time?
Done what?
Do you think many of the homesteaders cleared out in that 1893 hard times? Did many of them kind of go broke and have to leave?
I don't know whether you'd call it go broke or not, but lots of them about that time would have served their 5 years and they'd go and prove up and then mortgage it and leave it. There's lots of land in there now, still in the hands of companies.
Would they sell out to the timber company or what?
Do what?
Did they sell out to the timber company, usually?
No, J.P. Volmer bought most of their land.
He was the banker up in Troy, wasn't he?
At Lawson.
Was he a pretty good banker?
Yes, he was a good banker. He looked out.
Did he kind of watch out for people and try to help them out?
No. No, he wasn't that kind of a man. I don't know how he worked much, but he'd take a mortgage on their property, and of course he'd foreclose it. And he'd put that in as so much deposit in the bank. It was a backing for the bank.
Do you remember the Kendrick fire in 1903?
Was I here then?
Yes.
Yeah. We lived up here on Cedar Creek. I went down there. after it all cooled down, to put a sorry looking place.
Were the businesses still trying to operate?
Yes. They put up kind of temporary buildings and start over.
How did the politicians campaign for office around that time?
Oh, there was quite a number running for office, but of course, like all the time, some were successful and some weren't.
Well, how would they come around and kind of let people know who they were? Or who was running?
Well, you take now, I don't know that in Moscow, that man Snow, what is he running for Congress?
Now you mean?
Huh?
Now you mean?
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure. I think he might be. I'm talking about back in the early days. Would the politicians who were running come out to the different little communities?
Well, that's just what I was going to tell you. You know, they had their cards, you know. And they come and maybe they'd announce that they would speak at a certain place at a certain night. We'd meet there with them. Sometimes it'd be a dozen Democrats or a dozen Republicans. They'd be at different times, you know. Now they come there and from Moscow, they would come out and they'd talk. They had the meeting there at the schoolhouse. We'd go over there and hear them. There'd be maybe a half a dozen or a dozen Republicans, or maybe next time there was that many Democrats would come. And they'd have it. Each one had their story.
Were most of the early homesteaders pretty interested in politics?
No, they wasn't, as you might say, they wasn't crazy about it. They didn't care too much.
What kind of things were they crazy about?
Oh, I don't know what they were. Very bad on anything or any subject. They had to work. They had some of them made shakes, some of them made shingles, and everything to make a dollar, you know, to buy grub. And they were busy. And our father and I, we made shingles one whole winter. We made a bigger kind of a building, and we had a shed in front. We dragged a log in there and it sawed up in the shingle length, 16 inches. And then I'd split them up and drive them and shave them, put them up in the pack. We'd get maybe $2 a thousand for them, or we had to do something.
When people went on down into Kendrick for their supplies, would they pretty often go on a bender or something to kind of get away from the pressures of working so hard?
Never heard of it.
I heard at one time in the early days, at the 4th of July celebrations in Kendrick, they used to have big tug-of-wars, and the people from Potlatch Ridge would take on everybody else. Do you remember those?
You mean they had kind of a tug-of-war?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. The Potlatch had quite a bunch of big, heavy men, way over 200. And they got on one end of the rope, and from Leland there, men that weighed 220 and 25 pounds, you know. There was about a dozen of them. And the Welkers, some of the Welkers, they were big, heavy men.
What other kinds of things would happen at those 4th of July celebrations?
Oh, I don't know. Down at Kendrick's, they had on 4th of July, it was down there, they had races of all kinds. They had a large platform outside, you know. I don't know what you call it, pavilion or something. And they have a dance there, and they start that dance after dinner, about 3 o'clock, 2 or 3. And they dance, I guess, maybe all night, I don't know. I left there about 11, 12 o'clock, and they were still hammering away.
Where was it that you were born again?
What state?
Yes.
Illinois.
When was that?
1868.
Why did your father decide to leave Illinois?
Well, land at that time was quite high in Illinois, and we got just as good a land, a whole lot cheaper, across the Mississippi River in Missouri. Oh, the land was just as good as the Illinois land, and didn't have to pay half as much. Take land in Illinois that was selling for $15, $75 an acre, you go over and buy just as good a land for $15 and $20 in Carr County, Missouri.
Were there still a lot of hard feelings around that time about the Civil War?
No, not right in there, but south where there was. It wasn't very healthy for take a family from the north to go into Arkansas or Mississippi or them places and locate.
Well, where did you go from Missouri?
Iowa.
How long did you stay there?
1 year. Broke up.
Did your father homestead in Iowa too?
Well, there was no homestead land. die away then. Wonderful, awful changes.
What do you think is the most impressive sort of change that you've seen?
Well, the biggest change is in the way things are running. That's the worst change, I think. Now this Watergate business. And this gasoline business. It's getting the things mixed up pretty bad.
How do you think Watergate compares to something like Teapot Dome?
I don't think there's much difference, is there?
I don't know. I wasn't around when Teapot Dome happened.
How old a person are you, if I'm allowed to ask?
I'm 25.
Oh. Oh, if you stay alive, you're going to see a lot of changes.
How did your family come west? How did they travel?
Well, we come on the train. We bought our tickets in Sioux City, Iowa. And we went from Sioux City to Omaha, Nebraska, and we got on the Union Pacific and come on out to Walla Walla.
That was about 1891?
No, that was 1890. 1891, we come up in this country.
I asked you before about Coxey's army, and you didn't say much about it. I wonder, were there many people who got interested in that Coxey's army thing around here?
No, they didn't take no stock in that.
What kind of a thing was that, anyway?
Well, it was a lot of people who were dissatisfied with the way the government was running things. There really was no work for them, you know. And that's what they was after, was they wanted wages.
What were they going to do about it?
Well, they wanted to talk to the President of the United States to start something. Well, I don't know what they wanted to start, but so they could have employment and make a living.
Was there much business with the IWWs in this area?
No, not around here.
What kinds of jobs did you do throughout your life?
Oh, worked the ranches and sawmills. When we first come west, we landed in Walla Walla, and I think it was 17th of March when we landed in Walla Walla, they had all their crops in. So we moved from Walla Walla on up to Dayton, and Father and I got a job in the sawmill there. And we worked that summer and that winter in the sawmill. And we made enough to get us a team wagon harness and kitchen supply of stuff. And we hauled that up here.
Did you know where you were headed for when you left Dayton?
Mm-hmm.
And you came all the way by wagon?
Yep. I don't know. It don't take a very long to go from here down to Dayton now, but it took us about 8 days to move up from Dayton to what's called Crescent, Cedar Creek.
When you arrived at your homestead, it was just unproved land, wasn't it?
It's what?
When you arrived at your homestead, it was just empty land, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
What did you do first when you got there?
Built us a cabin to live in.
How long did that take?
Well, I was out in the harvest that fall, and Father, he cut and hewed the logs, and when I come back from harvest, I took the team and drug them up, and we had what you call a house raising, and we put up the framework that fall, and then it snowed us under it and we couldn't work anymore till the next spring.
Well, where did you live that winter then?
There on the homestead we put up a box house. I think 16 feet square. Just I had a fireplace in one end of it, and cook stove, and a couple of beds in there, and fared pretty good.
How many people came over for your house raising?
Oh, we had, I guess, dozens or more. Just what was in the neighborhood, you know.
How long did it take?
Oh, the best part of one day.
Was there a celebration or a big feed or something afterwards?
Yeah, we had a dinner.
Was helping out like that pretty common in those homesteading days?
Mm-hmm.
What other ways would people help each other out?
Oh, sometimes sickness or something like that, but there's always willing to help. We had a doctor at Leland, and we had another doctor lived on a homestead there at Gold Hill.
Were you and your father supposed to come and help other people out who'd helped you out raising your house?
Yes, always.
What kinds of things did you do to help pay back?
Well, some had a barn to they put up a log barn. And help all that.
Were there any people who weren't very neighborly, who didn't participate in those sorts of things? People you might call sort of hermits or...
Oh, yes. Yes, they all. When you had a gathering of that kind, everybody was happy, well pleased. Is it clear outside or?
No, it's cloudy today.
Is it?
There was probably about an inch or two of snow this morning. And it's not snowing now, but it's cloudy out. Do you think the weather has changed much from the early days?
Oh, yes. We don't get near the snow that we used to. Get more rain in the winter time than we did then.
You have any idea why that is?
No. I don't.
What kinds of words would you use to describe the old days in general?
How was that?
How would you describe the old days? The homestead days?
Well, there was different, lots of different. Some people had an income or didn't have to get out and stretch, but they had to make it pretty good on the homestead. But you had to couldn't make it on the homestead and had to work out for a living, it was pretty tough going. Whatever you worked out, you was losing that much on the homestead, clearing.
About how much of a year did you have to work out?
Well, I generally went out in harvest, and that's about all.
Do you think people were happier in those days?
Well, I don't know about that. Some of them were quite well contented and some were not, just same as they are now. I don't see much difference.
Was there much difference between the real homesteading years and 20 or 30 years later?
Yes. they had more land and cultivation, and they were a whole lot further advanced. That is, they had more stock of something to sell, you know. And to have cattle, or maybe some hogs, and to have something to sell. Hard labor and the grain or anything, not from these timber ranches, was generally fettered. And the roads wasn't much more than a common trail. You couldn't haul much of a load over them, so if you could feed it and drive over it, like driving several heads of stock, it was better than hauling a load of grain over a trail. And bumping over them darn rocks in the road.
That was when you were coming out with horses, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Did you prefer working with horses?
Oh, yes. I never learned to drive a car.
How about mules? Did you ever work with mules?
Back east, father had a stud of mules. It was about as good a team as I ever worked. Well, I was 14, 15 years old. We raised a lot of corn. Corn was the principal crop. And then we started plowing about the 1st of March for oats. And we sowed maybe 20 or 30 acres in oats, and then we'd plow for corn. And we'd put in about 30 or 40 acres in corn. We'd do it all with them two mules. And a 12-inch plow. And a double-A harrow.
Do you think a span of mules could outwork a span of horses?
No, I don't think that, but what I liked about the mules was that they were steady. They just lug along, you know, all day. Horses be a little fast in the morning, a little slower in the evening. Mules not. But the mules had that gait. And that was it all day.
Why didn't you use mules out here then?
I don't know why. There was a man moved in over there to Gold Hill. He come from the southern part of Missouri, pretty close to Oklahoma line, and he brought a span of mules with him out here, and he kept them 3 or 4 years, and I don't know whether he sold them or traded them for horses, but he got rid of them. I don't know why.
Are mules as stubborn as they say they are?
Well, the span we had wasn't. They're a little tougher in the mouth. You had to pull a little harder to guide them.
About how many years could you work a horse or a mule before it would give out on you?
Oh, I don't know. I never tried that.
Did you ever have any horses that were real favorites of yours?
I had what?
Did you ever have any horses that were real favorites of yours?
you mean an animal I like better than others?
Yes.
Yes, I had one gelding. He was a chestnut sorrel. They weighed about 1,200. A heavy, blackish animal. And I don't know, I could do anything with him. Plow him single, double. Hitch him up to anything. He worked with that. And I ride him, he was a nice animal.
What was his name?
Selim.
How many years did you have him?
I don't just remember. I guess about 10 or 12 years.
Could you work him even when he was getting to be an old horse?
Did I work him with other horses?
Did you work him even when he was getting to be 10 or 12 years old?
Yes, he was all right then, yet.